The phoenix and the dragon in traditional Japanese tattoos symbolize harmony and power. That there is no inner strength without harmony. Brought to you by your two co-hosts, Brian Comstock, an e-commerce brand builder in the field of ergonomics with GetNeely.com. He's experimented with every form of scientifically validated human advancement, ranging from MDMA-assisted therapy, ayahuasca retreats, to peptides and stem cells. Scott Conway is a lead generation and sales expert who has a Hyros.com certified lead generation agency, LGG Media. He is a dragon.
Episode 18, The Phoenix and the Dragon. We have two guests here today. This is actually the first episode that we have multiple guests. We have Zach, who is CMO of both Device List and Mobile Tech Lab. And then we have Kyle, who's COO of Device List and Mobile Tech Lab. They've been business together for 8 years, but both of these companies have been in operations since 2019. Zach, Kyle, Brian, how's everybody doing?
Good, man. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you're both super busy. Appreciate you making the time. Brian.
Normally, I'm doing well. Normally, I tell every guest they're like the most interesting people I've ever met. For you guys, I'm going to say you guys are the funniest people we've had on. So it's, or both. You guys are a freaking blast already. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, I appreciate
Zach is, that. For 7 years, and he's fucking hilarious. So welcome.
Oh, no.
Kyle, you were just saying something.
No, I wasn't.
all right then.
I wasn't actually, but I did hear like a ring. I did hear like a weird ringing noise. I'm not sure if you guys heard
that. That's mine. Sorry, I have to mute more.
Okay.
Mute more.
It was that.
It's more not, mute. WhatsApp, Facebook. Like,
it's not.
So much
fun. It's not. Honestly, it's not mute more. It's just mute entirely. That's mute more.
Yeah, too many notifications.
You two have known each other for 8 years. How did you initially start in the business together? What was that story?
Kyle, you could start on that.
So we started in business together. It's weird because we actually get asked this question quite a bit, like from friends and family and just people. And I actually vividly remember the moment Zach called me for the first time ever trying to sell me iPhone repair Winnipeg.com and .ca. And how the call went was like, hey man, I'm gonna lease this domain to your competitor for $400 per month unless you take it. And then I said, sign me up. So we became business partners, yes, down the road, but that's how it all started. That's how we met. I didn't realize at the time he was doing this at scale. So iPhone repair Winnipeg and .com and .com and .ca was just like a small set of what he was doing. He owned Edmonton iPhone repair, Toronto iPhone repair, Ottawa iPhone repair, all the different domains. And so, yeah, we started leasing the domain with him, and I was doing cracked screen iPhone 4 replacements in my parents' basement at the time when Zach called me. And I was busy. I was fixing friends' phones, family's phones, the cracked screens, the back glass and all that stuff just out of my parents' house. But the moment that me and Zach kind of started talking is when the business kind of really did just take off, because that's when my customer amount tripled. That's when CTV News and all the big news outlets started contacting us and trying to get involved and interested in us. And that's also when 6 months after we move into a new location, our first location outside of my parents' house into my own storefront. But yeah, essentially that's how we met. That's how it all started.
I think you just rushed off like a really like big part of the going from like the phone repairs to actually having a storefront. What was that process? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. And I think also on Zach's end of like where he started too, is he was doing this in several industries, like buying these domains in several industries. So it has something of where he started also to where he is now. But yeah, no, it's a major shift, right? Like we basically had to go to business school within 1 month and figure out ourselves. That's the best way to describe it. We had to learn what is business insurance? What is a point of sale? What is a merchant service report? So what is all these little things in a business, right? And at the time when Zach called me, by the way, I was like 15, 16 years old. It was grade 10, grade 9, grade 10, like around there.
To be clear, you weren't in grade 10. You were skipping classes to fix items, right?
To be clear. Yeah, to be clear. But I couldn't even sign a lease. I couldn't sign a contract. My parents actually had to sign contracts on my behalf because I was underage. So it was very hard to even get around and operate and even open up that storefront. But yeah, like at the time I was about that age and we got things going and it was super hard. My parents were involved. They had to be involved legally to get things going. But yeah, we flipped it from a home-based business to which we'll talk to you later about what we're doing now, but at that time to an actual storefront business that can start bringing in customers from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. with a website and with my first employee while I was still in school. What Zach likes to be specific and say I didn't attend class, which I honestly was pretty crazy because I'll touch on one point. Every 30 minutes I was asking to go to the washroom to answer calls and texts either from Zach sending a lead or the lead itself.
So what was that conversation like? We're like, mom and dad, like I'm opening a retail store. Like how did that happen?
Well, I also vividly remember this too. I said, I'm doing it with or without them. That's the vivid part I remember. I said, hey guys, you can back me up. And they did, of course. I love my parents, they're amazing. Like they have supported me the whole way. But even if they didn't do that, because I had no idea what the hell they're going to say. Even if they didn't do everything they have done for me, I was still, in my mind at that age, I was still going to do it. And I had some incredible drive, which amazes me. And you know, now, and Zach has incredible drive and Daniel, my other business partner. But that young, I'm actually surprised at how much drive I had to say, hey, I'm doing this with or without you guys. If you don't co-sign this, I'm going to get my best friend's mom to co-sign this. So I was fearless, I guess. Like I was young and I really wanted to get out of the house and build a concept in my brain and turn it into reality and a brand and essentially a business.
It's incredible.
But yeah, Zach, yeah. I don't know if you want to add anything. I don't know if I missed anything.
I can add some context from my end, but basically I was in university and I was like messing around with SEO, but I didn't want to do, basically I was like in the back of class doing my geography major, which I didn't want to do, but my parents like forced me to go to school and I was like, okay, I'll go to school. So I just took geography because it was like, I had the most electives and it would get me through the fastest. And I also didn't want to take a loan. So I just paid it with cash myself. And I was buying like exact match domains and testing stuff out because I didn't want to do client SEO work, right? So I would buy like iPhoneRepairWinnipeg.com.
What's exact match domains like for?
So like the most popular term someone's searching is like iPhoneRepairWinnipeg, then you would buy iPhoneRepairWinnipeg.com with the theory being like you're the most popular match for the most popular, you're the most likely match for the most popular term, so you'll like rank and Google faster. And that's still, tweaked it a bit, but I used to be able to put a picture of a puppy and put like a small paragraph on iPhone Repair, and then Google would be like, oh, you're the most relevant because you named the puppy picture iPhone Repair Winnipeg.jpg. It was super easy to just like mess around with SEO like that. So I figured that out, and then I looked and I was getting a bunch of traffic, and then I was like, okay, I'll just put a tracking phone number on there so I could track those phone calls and forward them wherever I wanted. I could forward them to my cell phone and someone else's cell phone. I could forward them to my cell phone for 3 rings and then someone else's cell phone for 3 rings. So then I was doing that in a bunch of industries, and it was a little bit tougher in lower volume industries. Construction is like a longer lead time, right? But iPhone repair, I had a girlfriend at the time. She says, random guy came to my house and fixed my phone. I'm like, that's weird. Like, why would you let a random guy? She's like, oh, I found him on Google. And so I like reverse engineered that. And I was like, okay. So if you look at the the volume for iPhone repair plus city name, it's like super high. So I would like, I made one for Ottawa where I live. I made one for Winnipeg. I made another one for Winnipeg because I wanted to see, do they limit the amount of sites you can have on the first page? No, they don't. So I had like .com and .ca, like first and third. And then I had Edmonton. I had two on Edmonton. And then I had a theory where I like the college towns in the States had like high volumes of rich kids that would break their phones and their parents would pay. So I did like Ann Arbor, College Station, Tallahassee, Tampa Bay. Like I did all this stuff. And then all those calls would first go to me. So my phone's just ringing nonstop for all these random area codes. And then I would just call shops and be like, hey, I'm going to forward you calls for a week. And if you like that, you can pay me 100 to 400, depending on the volume of calls I had per month to lease the site. And I'll put your logo and your information on it. And by seeing how they reacted to that, it would tell me like, basically, are they a serious business or not? Some guys would be like, oh my God, like 20 calls this week. It's not worth anything. I'm like, that's 20 extra calls. Like, are these people calling you for pizza? Or are they calling you for phone repair? Oh, no, they're calling for phone repair. That's way more valuable than something that's not relevant. And Kyle was the only one that was like, hell yeah, I want it. I used to lease the site to another guy in Winnipeg and he would shuck on not paying me and make these excuses. Meanwhile, I look online and I can see all the calls that I was sending him weren't being answered. So I was just kind of like, hey, I also remember vividly telling this guy like, hey, I'm going to call like some random kid on Kijiji and send him the call. So no, you won't do that. And I was like, what makes you think I wouldn't do that? You haven't paid me, so obviously I'm going to do it. So I just remember going on Kijiji in Winnipeg and typing in like iPhone repair Winnipeg. And then I saw Matrix Mobile and I called Kyle and I was like, hey, like I'm getting all these calls. If you look on Google right now, there's like this site, I'll add your logo and you can get all the calls from it. And he's ready. He said, sign me up, no problem. And I'm pretty sure he was like at the dinner table with his mom or something like that. So then as soon as I saw him like picking up all the calls, responding to all the leads I was sending him, I was like, man, like this is way easier to work with one person and go deep on that relationship than messing around here and there. But the other sites in other cities also were relationships and data I could build on. Okay, like, why aren't you open on Sundays? Why aren't you picking up the phone? Why don't you do this repair? Why don't you do that repair? So even if it was a failure or I didn't like fully yield the revenue I wanted, I always knew that it would provide some like insight into the industry and insight into like business.
How did you manage those relationships, like those client relationships of when it is that you close them to after when it is that they were a client? Like when you say going deep on that one relationship, like what did that look like as far as like you supporting them, like outside of other than what you just described?
Kyle was more like you wanted to improve things, right? His drive was different than the other guys. The other guys were like, whoa, bro, I don't fix these phones. I'm like, why not? They're like, I just don't want to fix them. And this, what does that mean? Kyle was more like, we're gonna find a way to fix this phone. I'm gonna reply to everything. Can you do this? Can you do this? So he's like way more interested in it. There's more incentive for me to improve if he's more interested versus someone that's like paying me $100 and like somewhere in Texas. It's I want your $100, but I don't want. There's no incentive for me to improve it. So I'll take the guy that in the States for $100, but I'm not gonna put some effort in. Kyle wanted to like actually resolve the issue, took the initiative to go from his bedroom to a storefront. And that motivated me. He's taking steps to scale up. So I'll match that drive and I'll match that ambition. So like, that's more motivating than the guy in Edmonton who's, I can't e-transfer you. I need your direct deposit information and I'll pay you in 60 days. And it's all good, man. Don't worry. Keep the $200. I'll just give it to someone else. It tells you who's more interested. If you're offering business owners leads and they're like not that interested, and just literally free money for them, then that's a pretty good barometer of what their focus is on and like how like interested they are in actually growing their business.
I know you're tempted to say like how big of a fucking moron they are.
I'm gonna deal with Kyle. I can't call people these bad words anymore. I just have to use nice words.
That's interesting. That's a good business model. Just like I have leads and you'll like be ROI positive. Do you want to do it? So I feel like the payment term, have you guys fluctuated up and down on the payment terms? Cause that's always something I think about. Cause instead of playing the collections game, you could try to like get paid sooner or upfront or different things like that.
But that was my initial business model. And that was kind of, I was in school. I just wanted extra money to like have fun with. I wasn't really trying to like make 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 a month. I was just trying to get, if I can make an extra 1,000 a month, then that's makes me happy. That's not our current business model, but that's how me and Kyle came into a relationship. So that's not the model we use anymore. Obviously, I wouldn't focus on that. But that business model was important because it initially gave me and then further down the road, Kyle, like information into how other phone repair shops and how other device repair shops were operating and the gaps that they were not partaking in. And as the story goes on, you'll see how that helps us down the road with our like version 2 and iterating on that business model. So oftentimes I always see things, if I can get data on something, then that's more important than actually succeeding.
Yeah, and like gaps is such a big thing in our industry. Like I will say that maybe that guy that didn't really care if Zach sold the domain or leased the domain to someone else. Like he didn't, maybe he did not care, but he didn't understand, right? But I don't think he understood one thing. And I think it is how the industry was shifting. Right. So the industry used to not be as competitive. right? And you didn't need to have these amazing Google Ads tactics and Facebook Ads tactics and just the way you operate. It didn't matter. If you fixed a phone, you're getting business because no one did it back then, right? Like 10 years ago, no one did it. So that guy said, okay, I'm probably not going to lose customers. I'm probably not going to, if I lose the iPhone Repair Winnipeg domain, I probably, nothing will happen to my business. Guess what? 2 years later, he shut down and we're expanding in revenue up, right? So just shows that you do need to pivot and people can really miss things. It's crazy.
Yeah, and experience had nothing to do with that. Like Kyle has like legitimately zero years of experience. And he's able to see that gap where there's that guy, is a guy in his 40s, a full adult. He's like, I don't care if people are calling me. It's like, people are actually calling
me. It's like, you can't really be so focused on what you currently have. You should be focused on the future. What does the future show? What's going on in your industry based, what is going on in the industry that you might see have some effect in 2 to 3 years? He had signs. He didn't make any changes. He didn't pivot.
Yeah. I think it was the Britannica. I think it was like the most popular encyclopedia. And they're like directors or anyone with that forward thinking brain was like, hey, look, we're in print and the direction of the world's going online. We need to shift to an online model and this and that. And they're like, and then the CEO or whatever was basically like, it's meant to be in a book. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's meant to be. And then they went out of business because they didn't pivot their business model to the new frontier, which is online. So that's just to me an example. Yeah. That to me is a testament and an example of what you're saying, of where you have to embrace that fluidity and forward thinking. Otherwise, you're at risk just by nature of how quickly things can change.
Yeah, maybe exactly. Nailed it on the head. And exactly. And maybe some people don't see it as okay. It's like almost like a medium, right? It's okay. Yeah. I'm shifting from a book as a business model. I'm shifting from a book over to digital, over to a website. But what are your viewers going to expect in 10 to 15 years? He wasn't asking himself these questions or like anyone. It's crazy. You got to really look into the future. You got to have a vision and look into the future. And if you don't have that vision, you can flip a business and it'll just go bankrupt.
I know very few people who can do both, who can look into the future and operate well. You guys have like an integrator visionary kind of relationship, or how do you guys look at that? Because it typically is different skill sets, like operational execution versus visionary forward thinking.
We can definitely get to that. In our industry, you got to be focused on the current and the future. And if you're not looking at both, you're screwed.
Yeah. I have that issue all day where I'm like, I do want to focus on this thing, which will be relevant in 6 months if we have to start discussing now. But there's also like a customer in my store I can see on the camera right now
That also goes back to what I said about delegation, right? I delegate Zach on maybe a specific stuff that's current and stuff that I know that he can easily do and fix and help faster than me and Daniel. And then Daniel's more technical. He did computer science at University of Manitoba. He's technical. I'm more operations. I'm the director. I do the partnership, stuff like that. So we all have our ways, what we're focused on, and we delegate to make sure that we can. I'm usually focusing on the future, for example. Daniel is focusing on the current. Zach is focusing on the current. So we delegate all these different tasks, right? It's like it really is like a whole, like one person can't do it all type of thing. It's like we have to have a team. It's crazy.
I actually do have a lot of sympathy for if you're like a solo business owner and it's like you're trying to tap your head and rub your stomach at the same time. I need money today, but I need to be thinking about the future. And you're just like, I have sympathy for those people because I don't know how I would do it. If I have one task list, which is like today task list, I can only focus on that. And then me, Kyle, and Dan play hot potato and delegate around. But it's very hard to like
when, think. When we talk to each other at 6 p.m. at the end of the day sometimes, I shock Zach by the stuff I tell him and vice versa. He shocks me by the in-store stuff that our employees are doing correctly or incorrectly.
So how do you balance that? What's your process for both managing the current and then also like how are you studying the industry and then how are you looking at trends? Like what kind of data are you looking at macro wise.
I guess it would be more useful. We'll start with our like journey to wholesale because that will give
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Zach, you could yeah just
you give could, you the story.
Like, over yeah, do like an overview, and then we can get into kind of more specifics. Yeah.
So when we were when I got in, out of the lease website leasing model and into business with Kyle, there was like a it was kind of like the I call it the cowboy era of phone repair. It's like you just got some guy, like my ex, my old girlfriend. It's like she just got some guy to come to her apartment to fix her phone. And it's like super sketchy, and I'm like, that's not appropriate. So like getting parts, getting phones, getting accessories, finding a place to get your phone repair was obviously very like Wild West. Anyone could do it. Anyone could say this is a genuine part. This is a non-genuine part. You had iPhone 4S. And I knew at that point, like, this can't last forever. There's going to be some, like, regulations coming in or some the big guys are going to come in. But at the time, looking at the way Kyle's store was operating, it was, like, hard to get parts, right? It was hard to get parts in Canada that were of appropriate quality, of appropriate price, and you would feel comfortable installing on a customer's phone and warranty. And getting the expensive parts was expensive. Sorry, getting the correct parts was expensive. So that led us to be like, okay, like, why is no one using this, these like big US guys or these giant American suppliers, which are like way better than anything you can get in Canada. It was like buying off Amazon versus buying from some like random website. The reason for that was because the shipping into Canada and the customs fees was too high. So if a screen costs $50 and you're paying $50 US shipping and then custom fees and then everything else, it's like, it drives the price up for the customer where it's not competitive and you can't even use that supplier. But I knew right away, Kyle was very insightful. It was like, we're gaining more customers and we're able to do more repairs of more devices if we actually use these suppliers. And that will get us market share and that will get us like just better rep for our retail store at the time. We then realized like, again, through data that like getting that, you using that supplier in Canada and getting that supplier in Canada was like a better opportunity than retail at its time. So we had to take two steps back and three steps forward. And if we can solve the wholesale component of it, we can have the leverage to like really expand retail. So you can't really do retail if you're like constantly like griping.
Yeah, like I remember like I would have day and night calls with China suppliers in China overseas, just making sure we have these 100 iPhone 4S batteries en route on this specific day or whatever the part may be. Like it was a mess. The supply chain back then was a mess. Especially in Canada,
because it's like this invisible barrier. The U.S. borders like an hour from most people in Canada, but it's that's in America. You get it. And it's like this whole like crazy thing, and so we're ordering from China instead of ordering from the United States, and the United States is 1 hour down the road, right? So it's like an imaginary problem, a problem in our heads that shouldn't exist, right? We should be able to order from any close U.S. supplier faster than we can from China, but. Also, we have sympathy where if you're a big U.S. company, like who cares about Canada?
Like, how you put it as an imaginary problem.
It is imaginary. Yeah, it is like I can't get napkins. It's like really, you can't get napkins. Like this is that's how it felt. So we ended up. Kyle, you can tell the story of the wholesale. You do it better than me.
Yeah, but we should take a step back though, and I think we should really tell them about Tech U.
Oh, okay, you can do that too. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah. What I was going to say was the reason why we really got into just the overall supply chain issues and wholesale in general, the reason why, how we got into that is we wanted to expand mobile at the time was called Matrix Mobile. That was our first retail repair company. In order to expand it, we needed to start doing on-site phone repair. We needed to come to you. And coming to the customer was big at the time. It showed that, hey, we're different. We're not, you don't have to just come to one of our locations, but you can come to us also. I'm sorry, we can come to you also. In order to do on-site phone repair and do this properly, we needed the supply chain issues fully resolved. So we literally tried it out for 3 to 4 months and we were making great revenue. Winnipeg and Edmonton were the beta test cities and we did very well. It took off like crazy. We'll get to this later, but we're still gonna be doing on-site phone repair in the future. It's something that we think Canada needs. But
on-site, on-site, like you'll go to their house.
We come to you.
Wherever.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. The van does the repair, not in your house, but we do the repair in our own vehicle in the van.
Okay, got it. That's
so
interesting.
Very good for businesses and corporate for sure. That's what corporate and business want.
Does the van have Does the van have like good marketing, or does it just say free candy?
It's the best marketing. It's the best marketing tool around town, because it's driving around town with cracked screen and our logo all around the vehicle and showing the Samsung certification logos off and all that. Yes, 100%. But yeah, so back to what I was saying is, yeah, so we needed to, in order to build on site and expand retail, essentially, yeah, back to what Zach was saying is we needed to fix the supply chain in Canada. So we did just that. We fixed the supply chain in Canada by actually bringing in the best supplier in the States at the time's product. We got in with them, got some serious relationships with them. They have really helped us, of course, in a lot of ways, and pushed us to do this. But we also pushed them. They had no interest in Canada at the time. They thought there was no volume and whatever. So me and Zach and Daniel ask ourselves, okay, how do we show them the volume to open up here? And what's that path look like? So yeah, we open up a company called mobilesupply.ca. Mobilesupply.ca will be the replacement part supplier in Canada. It'll be the number one. That's the game plan. That's the business model. It took off in less than 2 months. We simply was reselling the parts from the US supplier with the best quality, with $0 shipping next day, comes to your shop. We reverse engineered the issues and we fixed the issues and brought it into Canada. We built the best e-commerce website in Canada for mobile device parts and tools and supplies at the time. And it was a simple Shopify website. Of course, it was a lot of customized coding and it was a shit show, especially on Shopify. But we did it and it worked for 1 year, like less than a year, like 10 months. 10 months, the 10th month comes, we have some more serious conversations. And then the owners tell us, hey guys, yeah, you're buying way too much. Like this is too much for our staff to be shipping every day. Because it was literally boxes, like tens of thousands of dollars of boxes and parts every day. So it got to a point where obviously this is not going to work. So they're like, you guys, we're booking a flight to Virginia for you guys. You're going to come to Virginia. That's the head office.
They booked them a flight. Okay. I drove. So just so you know, I had to drive.
Yeah, so we got in. We got into Virginia at 2 to 3 a.m. And
how many flights was that from Winnipeg to Virginia?
Oh, it was actually it was two flights. So Winnipeg to Toronto, Toronto to Virginia. So it's really easy. Yeah, it's not bad at all. It's fine. But yeah, so we booked the flight. We get in. We meet Zach. As Zach just said, he drove down. He met me and Daniel. Yeah, 3 a.m., man, Eastern time. They're there. They're in the office still working.
Yeah, we thought they were like, come in tomorrow. So I just texted them like, hey, we'll go to our hotel. We'll see you tomorrow. They're like, no.
80 staff members just working their asses off. It's 3 a.m. Eastern time. Like they're just hustling. Like it was amazing to see. Amazing. Yeah. Just the culture and what we brought ourselves into at that moment when we pulled up and we see the owners just smoking in front of their big ass 25,000 square foot head office. We just knew this is what we were meant to do. We just knew, just sitting in the car.
It is motivating to see. It was motivating because I remember driving down and I'm like, I'm just going to drive down. This is crazy. I brought a bunch of the suppliers' parts with me and
like my competitor suppliers.
Sorry, competitors' parts from other guys in Canada that were trying to sell like same stuff. And then I got stopped at the border and they were like, what is this? I'm like, phone screens for, and then they're like, okay, you can go. So I drive through and I'm like, and I drive all the way down and then I pull up and I was like sleep in my car in front of Walmart for the first 3 hours because their flight didn't come in for 3 hours. And then I go to Mobile Centrics and then we talked to see the inside of a crazy big operation was like super motivating. Concept just to see like legitimately an e-commerce operation at that scale being 24 hours.
Oh, and all the SOPs and all the shit they have involved in making that automated is truly fascinating.
And people just, they also had like local pickups. So like local shops in the area would come by to, I need to buy a part. I need this. I need that. And they sell devices. So they're processing devices and everything. It was quite sick. It was like quite motivating. And that's what really pushed us is, wow, we were buying from these guys for all this time. They wouldn't give us any kind of.
And it was also educational for us. We learned a shit ton that night, just that night alone. The next day we learned even more. The next week and years, we learned even way more. But like it was very, understanding how a supply chain and logistics works almost helps you build a better retail and wholesale company down the road. So that is what actually happened to us. That's why we're able to do the things we can do now, is because we got educated based on our past business experiences. But yeah, back to what I was saying. Yeah, so yeah, at that stage, we were just at MS, and which is, sorry, MS, you guys wouldn't know, but it's the supplier. So we were in Virginia, and it was 3 a.m. We were looking at everything in the operations, and it was amazing. It was amazing to see. So the next day, we start doing these meetings, right? And one of the biggest reasons that we even got the deal that we have with that supply chain and the deals that were to come down the road and everything was because of one client that we brought to the table. Okay. So this was the biggest chain in Canada, and we brought them to the supplier. And that's a big deal, because you're trying to, we're trying to convince them to come to Canada. So if we bring the, if we bring them the biggest Canadian shit, that's probably going to work out for us. So that was right.
You just got a deal.
No, so let me just add this. We didn't just bring it to them, call Joe with his number. Like, we came in one day.
No, we went to Virginia at the same time. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
We met everyone. We brought them into the head office, opened the door for them. These are so-and-so from the biggest chain in Canada. This is so-and-so from MS. You guys should meet. Like, physically brought them, meet us in Virginia, fly to this airport, and meet us at this day.
Yeah, literally made them shake hands, like, everything. Just everything. And then, of course, they fell in love business to business wise. And then 2 months later, and then 2 months later, in Toronto specifically, they buy us out, and then they move into Toronto and they build this big warehouse and just replicate everything they're doing in the States.
Was this Canada. The supplier or the chain?
The supplier. I'm not being clear. The supplier. Yeah. The supplier came in, replicated everything they're doing in the States, and brought themselves into Canada. And then basically what ended up happening with us is they acquired our company, mobilesupply.ca, and they basically bought out our clientele and us, so we can focus on making sure the client base is secure and safe and giving them the best support needed.
And also growing the client
base. But also growing the client base across Canada. So that was our new role. They buy us out. That's the agreement. And that is exactly what we did. So that's the next stage. So going back to the progress, right? It's, we get into retail, we start expanding retail, we figure out, oh, there's so many issues building retail because of the supply chain capacity. We stop what we're doing. We build the supply chain capacity, bring it back into Canada, and here we are. Okay. Now the supply chain acquires us. So now we work for the supply chain. Right. So yeah. That's in the story, that's where we are right now.
Yeah. So, well, I guess we'll just pause that for any questions. It's like such a,
it's a crazy, story. Yeah. Like we don't even talk about it much, but yeah, it's a pretty crazy and long story.
Kyle and I know Zach, I'm closer with Zach, but what's interesting in hearing whenever you both talk about this shit is just how much you both love this.
Because what there's so many like fucked things in between that Kyle's been saying for purposes of the podcast, but he didn't tell you the time we like booked the hotel for Virginia. And then after like 8-9 hours of me driving down to Virginia and then 6 hours of talking to them in the office, but you go to the hotel and they're like, we don't have your reservation. Sorry. And then like we have to like bribe the guy at the front desk to use his like employee discount to book us a room because it's 4 a.m and we have to meet the guys from the big chain of 9 and we need 4 hours to sleep somewhere. There's so many messed up stories in between where I'm like,
yeah, business is not easy. Like doing, especially with like bigger businesses than your business is, it's hard. Like that, yeah. Shit's hard when you're such a small business trying to deal with medium and large businesses. That's probably the biggest challenge that anyone could go through when they own a small business.
It's hard to, the good thing that we did, and looking back on it, I'm really appreciative of it, is we reverse engineered. Mobile, the big supplier, MS, is not gonna listen to us. So how do we make them listen to us? We order $25,000 worth of parts a day, and say, put it all in one box and send it to Winnipeg. And they're like, okay, we're not putting it all in one box. This is ridiculous. And they're like, no, we take the order, put it in a box and send it to Winnipeg. And they're like, what do we even put on customs? Like $20,000 worth of phones. They're like, yes, please put it. And then that kind of, you have to find a way to incentivize big guys to work with you when you're small. And that's the tough part, because sometimes it's very hard to find a way.
And I remember I was eating dinner with the owner, just talking, and he said, hey man, we would have never went to Canada unless you guys pushed us so freaking hard. And at this point, they're the biggest supply chain in the world right now. So it's pretty interesting the way things have progressed.
And so for the retail side, now that you fixed the supply, walk us through what it is that you're doing on the retail side.
Yeah, definitely. That's the next step. So we get out of retail, right? Because of course we've been in retail for quite some time at this point, right? And we don't get out of retail necessarily. Like, we're still taking care of our customer relationships. We're still growing the client base for them and everything. But but at the same time, we start working on a whole new project concept, business in Canada, that was always in the back of our brains, and that is device list. So device list, it's not launched yet. It's a product that we intend to launch, but that is the all-in-one technology marketplace serving across Canada with physical storefront locations across Canada, not just online. So if you need service, it's available. But if you also want to buy the phone to have it shipped to your door for next day, activated with the eSIM card and get insurance on it, you're set. So we come up with a new business model called Device List. But to build Device List, like back in with our retail problems, to build retail, you need to fix wholesale. But to build Device List, to build the true marketplace in Canada, and to build what we want to do, required software, which is a whole new path that we got involved in, right? So in this point, and still to 2020 right now, this month, there's no good software in our industry, right? There's Shopify and that's it, right? So we had to take another step back again, because you can't build the project unless it's perfect, right? So to build the perfect project, we had to take the step back. We had to build the infrastructure. We call it the Shopify, like quote unquote Shopify infrastructure. The infrastructure to build everything specifically for our industry in terms of what software capabilities need to be met, website, POS, whatever it may be, to run the business, to make it possible to even operate. Because right now, it's a mess. It's really hard for the independent shop owner to exist even. We figured the way around it through software, but we had to take a step back to expand it, to do it properly.
Yeah, right now, like the problem we're trying to solve, if you want to visualize it, is like the staff is at the computer in the retail environment and they have 20 tabs open.
Yeah, 25 tabs open at once. How do we make it one tab with one software they can do everything on? Because that's the step back. That's the step back we took. That's the step back we took.
Because it's one of those problems where you don't know about the problem until you have it. Like, you have your repair-based software that tracks repairs and tickets, and then you have your Shopify inventory, which is for your devices, and then you have Facebook.
Oh, you don't. Oh, don't forget your appointments and coding software.
And then
don't
you have your appointments and coding software. And then
don't forget Google Workspace, your emails, your Google Sheets, all that crap.
Have you guys looked into Okta single sign-on?
We've looked into everything you can imagine.
Yeah.
To put it in simple terms, for our industry specifically, which is why we have built what we built, which is industry specific software, it doesn't exist.
I like that each time, like, you just encounter a problem, you're like, all right, what's the solution? All right, there's no solution. This inefficiency is not tolerable. So how do we fix it?
We had to, exactly. Every year we have we have to halt this project to expand, to make more revenue, to grow the business. We have to halt a project and we have to redo it, build a better business model to resume a project.
Yeah,
because, it's almost crazy.
Because I again, like, you can exist within the, I guess for you guys, you're like, whatever, use like 20 tabs, but it's so annoying.
But that's how our competitors are thinking, and we know the competitors don't care to make it better. Okay, don't make it better. Okay, you won't get to the location amount that we have and we'll be at in 2 years from now. So good game.
It's like me and Kyle and Dan would rather bite the bullet and invest in solving the problem, knowing the competitive advantage it gives us, rather than sit there and say, oh, it's not that bad. It's like super inefficient, but we still make money. Like, we're really not trying to like just exist and survive the inefficiency. We want to resolve it, because the shocking thing that always shocks me is we were like just shipping stuff into Canada, putting it in a different box and then shipping it to the customer. You let us do that. No one else tried that. It's so ridiculous. Like, we took it out of their box, took their stickers off and put it in our box and put our blue tape on top and then shipped it out. So like, every day, like all the boxes in the back of Kyle's car, like go to FedEx on time. And
yeah. And my Corolla was full. It was crazy.
But so like, but these inefficiencies, yeah. I don't know how you feel, Kyle, but I always feel like no one's going to do this. No one's going to fix this problem. So yeah, it is a big annoying problem, like consolidating 20 different channels and tabs into like maybe even 10 to start, or five, or ideally one, but maybe less. But I also know in my heart, like no other entity is going to try to solve this problem. So that's like motivating for me. No one else is going to do this. It's too much of a niche thing.
How'd you even go about that? Did you hire a bunch of developers and stuff? Or what was the process?
Oh, that's a whole different story to get ourselves into.
Ideally, so something to keep in mind is like, there's also like other hurdles.
Essentially, we had to build a separate software company. We had to, no matter what. You can't do it in-house. We had to build, and we did, a separate software
company. Why not do it in-house?
Because
you should go sell this to every
competitor. If you do it properly, if you do it properly, how do you sell it to your competitor? And if you do it really properly, how do you diversify into different industries? If you do your software properly,
yeah, you
that's
could sell
why
this,
we generalize.
You could sell it as a pickaxe to every competitor.
Exactly what we are doing, and basically, you don't want it under your brand name, so we put it under a different name. But exactly.
Yes, it's definitely like a big problem. But again, me and Kyle and Dan have the same mindset where we're like,
yeah,
this is a problem. Yeah, so what data can I like glean from this problem? And the fact that no one else was trying to solve this problem, what was the big thing? You guys don't even care to try and solve this problem. They're like, no, even the big guys who have like 100.
We don't have on-site phone repair software. We're still developing it right now to date. It'll launch next year to do on-site phone repair. You need the software done properly. Everyone that's doing it is half-assing it.
Or just like a guy in his van, which is creepy if you think about it.
No, man. No, Zach, even the big
guys. Aren't you just delegating guys in vans?
Even our biggest competitors? No, that's what our competitors do. No, we would do it a little bit different. The software is there. The vehicles are there. The employee training and certifications are all done. It's all there. Yeah. That is our goal. We want it like skip the dishes and Uber Eats. Okay. You could track your tech coming to you. And that is what we're working on, by the way.
Yeah. And this is all based on like when our on-site service failed, we knew what our issues.
Yeah. On-site won't launch until it's built, basically.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of issues you wouldn't even think about until you were like at the retail side, which is customers don't even know what phone they have. Like, your aunt probably thinks she has an iPhone 11 and she has like an 11 Pro Max. Or
yeah. Identifying the device for all customer age groups, basically. That is an issue itself that we are resolving through software and through AI, actually, and through different, there's a lot of things we can do with software now, and it's getting so good, and we're able to tackle so much through the data we have. Take that data, give it to the developers, see what they can do. That is how we think.
Yeah. So crazy.
So we are a very software-driven company. That's my point. We've always have been. If we weren't, we took a stop and pause, and we did it. Then we went back to what we were doing. So yes, on-site is still on pause. What we have done, continuing with the story, right? So what we have done is we've now built the biggest retail and service tech company in Manitoba. that does the most in terms of revenue, in terms of store locations, in terms of employees, yada, yada, yada. That is Mobile Tech Lab. So mobiletechlab.ca. We have 30 employees to date right now. We will be at 15 locations in February. Right now we're at 9. We are on amazing trajectory to be where we want to be in terms of our goals of locations and certifications and authorizations from manufacturers and from carriers and from insurance companies. Right now, the biggest thing is partnering up with those three sets. And that is what we're focused on. And we, our software and our business model, it really helps us in getting to reach those goals.
Yeah, it helps to, it helps those partnerships, which Kyle mentioned, when they see you have a track record of like proactively resolving problems and proactively getting the leverage. So if we have, we have what's called a minimum parts list, which is we always make sure we have the most popular screens on hand. And that helps with going to the insurance companies and saying, hey, we know you're launching this most popular phone. We have the screens on hand to do the repair and we're certified with the manufacturer. Done. So we're always trying to like push ahead to like get the leverage on these partnerships and to differentiate ourselves from the other small guys who are like, who are independents or who are good people, but they're not like necessarily equipped to deal with like the consumer as we see it. So a small issue, like I mentioned before, is customers don't even know what phone they have. They're like, I have an iPad. What kind of iPad? A purple one.
It's crazy. But to do retail.
Causes, no, I want to talk about how to do retail properly.
No, I'm just saying, to do it properly, we had to actually take ourselves away from wholesale because we don't want conflict of interests, right, to arise. So we actually made sure that we are focusing on retail right now. We're not focusing on the wholesale game anymore. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, but that is an issue, right? Like, old lady broke her iPad, and I don't know what kind of iPad I have. So how does your staff get that information out? What's the difference between iPhone 6 and 6S? Like, all these small things, like how you mentioned, how do you focus on thinking 10 years in the future and daily? Is every time I have a Slack message from a staff, I make a note on my notepad to create an SOP for that so I don't have to be asked again. Or I nix it because it's legitimately a stupid question. But that is an issue, right? Like, that is an issue. Customers don't know what phones they have, and they're requesting the widget on our site. Like, oh, I need an iPhone 7 repair. Oh, it's an iPhone 8. What's the difference?
These days, okay, you get Stu and Zach would, he's going to be like, yeah, definitely on this one. But if you get a basic question from an employee at scale, it's a big issue, right? Because you're dealing with that basic question that should be answered very easily at scale. And it's like it's a big thing when it comes to, oh, we get the same message all the time in Slack, for example, right? So we got to make sure everything's buttoned down. And to build this big retail franchise, or not, we're not going to be a franchise. We're just going to be a corporately owned business. But to build 200 locations across Canada, which is our goal, we need to have all this buckled down.
Yeah, you don't go to Starbucks and they're like, I don't know how to make your drink. Let me Slack someone. And we don't have any almond milk that's coming in tomorrow. Like, they always have everything in stock and they don't use Slack to ask their owners like silly questions. So I really, I love coffee.
If that irritates you, don't go to Columbia. I was trying to schedule an MRI and she literally had to WhatsApp her like colleagues how to schedule, which is like the entirety of her job. It's not like a fringe. Do you have almond milk, gluten-free, sugar-free? And it's like, how do I book a fucking appointment? And that's like the main thing. And like you're WhatsApping or Slacking your way through your jobs, it can be a cluster.
I've already managed Zach's expectations so hard on Columbia. He's like, there's another reason to not go.
I can't walk around past 6 p.m. I can't work.
No, I would say, dude, I've said this, like, the country would literally fall apart if they didn't have WhatsApp. Like, everything is just like messaging. I'm not like, you have no idea. Like, the walls would literally immediately crumble. Like, you wouldn't be able to book any appointment. You wouldn't be able to communicate with anything. It's remarkable. You're like, wow, everything is such fucking ground zero. Like, somebody, like what you guys did, somebody has to. That was the biggest thing I came to appreciate, is like, when you see these like businesses that have Coors beer trucks and they own trucks and they own freight and they own logistics and they own software and all this stuff, it's, you just kind of look at it and they're like, oh, that's cool, that's there. It's like, somebody had to go through like hell to set this shit up. And if you don't set it up, you're going to run an entire country off WhatsApp.
Yeah. And then you
use this term all the time. Vertical integration. If your business is vertically integrated, you're fully set up to win.
That's why Amazon has their Amazon Air, whatever it's called. They have their own jets. Like, what? When you look at the business, you're like, why would they buy all these planes and all this stuff? Because they want to have control. Because when you didn't have control, it's super frustrating. Because you're at the mercy of some other dude. They have to WhatsApp. Like when we were wholesale, people would just call us like, do you have the screen? As if I have it like under my bed. I'm like, oh, right here. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Do you think that's how things work? No, we have a warehouse.
But Zach, explain what vertical integration is. Explain like that means you don't outsource. That means essentially what it means is you don't outsource any part of your business to any other business. Marketing, supply chain, whatever it may be. That is what vertical integration means. You're vertically integrated. You can do it all in one line yourself. That's that term.
And it makes it things a little bit like our marketing is in-house. So
Mobile Tech Lab and Deviceless is 100% vertically integrated. We do from supply chain to ads. We do it in-house by our own staff. So that's what like a vertically integrated company.
And then how would horizontal integration work for the context of your business?
Say that again.
I said, how would horizontal integration work in your business?
If we had, I think what you mean is, okay, there's partners in our business, right? And there's people that we have to get along with. Is that what you mean?
No, actually what I mean is people say these terms all the time and no one knows what they mean. No one knows what they mean.
Vertical integration is means we're doing every, what I mean when I say it, I don't know what the definition is. And I'm pretty sure the definition follows what I say, but it means you're doing every part of your business. Marketing, it's nothing is out of house. It's all in-house, even the supply chain. So I'll use a marijuana company in Manitoba called Delta 9. They're 100% vertically integrated, meaning they own their plants. They own their warehouse where they do everything in from start to finish. Plus they own the marketing company that does the marketing for them. Plus they own the supply and distribution. Plus they own the retail stores itself, which is 30 plus in Manitoba alone, which is bigger than anyone else can get to in Manitoba. They own from start to finish. So that's what my definition of vertical integration is.
Yeah, I think horizontal integration would be more like really depending on another person. If your marketing company cut you off, you were like, we can't do it. Whereas our marketing is in-house. We used external marketing before and it was
just— Even our supply chain is in-house, which we can't talk about, but it's in-house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting as a side note, like as a company, you want to vertically integrate because it's frustrating relying on other companies. And then, so Amazon does this, but then it becomes frustrating dealing with a company that's completely vertically integrated because they own the entire thing and I have no leverage. They own the store.
Exactly.
They own the storage. They own the store. They own the marketing. They own this.
It sucks
to be on the other side of it. And it's, so I'd rather be less vertical. If I'm not going to completely vertically integrate the whole thing, then I'd rather deal with like less vertically integrated companies in a sense, which it'd be nice to have a one-stop shop, but the reality is it's just a cutthroat world where it's like, now they're just going to have all the leverage and fuck you over.
Yeah. In some industries, it just can't exist.
It definitely does suck to deal with, but at the same time, we're trying to like make it easier for the end consumer, right?
Oh, yeah. It's different. I'm speaking from like a business owner. Yeah. It's different for a consumer. You guys are on the right track. Yeah.
And like that is something that we want to improve. I don't want to end up being like a bully of this niche or whatever, but at the same time, we're like fixing everything at once. You fix wholesale, then you fix retail, then you fix this. And so you guys, this guy's 16 years old. You guys had 16 years of head start on him and you couldn't do anything. It's like, why are we dealing with China? We can't deal with someone 6 hours down the road in Virginia. I have no sympathy at that point. I'm like,
for businesses like yourself, I think it's more of converting the everything you can outsource to attempting to have that in-house, and anything you can't outsource, you set up those serious relationships with. Because what there is some stuff that we can't manage and handle. I would say we're 98% vertically integrated. We're not 100%.
How do you measure?
Just I'm basing this off of what I know, just what I work on every day and what I don't work on. And there is a little bit still of what we don't work on in the business. And we don't oversee in the business. We have third parties dealing with. So it's hard to measure for sure, but we don't have a lot of that anymore. That's what I'm saying. We might have one left out of all the companies that we used to deal with that we turned in-house. But for the brands, let's say it's like a brand like yourself, right? It's a product. It's very competitive, right? Just selling on Amazon. You're selling on a big-ass sales channel. It's hard to compete with. Your goal isn't really necessarily to get vertically integrated. Like, we're building a company. We're building a company that has several locations, and we're building a service provider, actually. So it's very different than a typical business selling products on Amazon, right? They necessarily don't have to be vertically integrated in the way we are. So it's an interesting question. That's what I'm trying to say.
It is interesting because we use Amazon to buy stuff. And I remember texting Kyle, I need a USB-C hub for my laptop. Which one do you have? He's like, I don't know. Just buy the 5-star one. People on Amazon, from your perspective, you feel like you're getting bullied. But from my perspective, I'm like, which one do I buy? Like the 5-star one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Like,
it's just all perspective of like consumer versus an employee for Amazon versus an investor. I've been everything. I'm a consumer, investor. I have two different businesses on Amazon, different business models, and being a business on Amazon right now is the one that sucks the most. I love them as a consumer and I like them as an investor, but anyway, yeah. So to your point, yeah, I'm not vertically integrated. I'm just trying to diversify. I'm trying to do the opposite. I'm trying to diversify off of.
But I guess this entire conversation is look how long it took us to get vertically integrated. These are huge chunks of the cell phone repair like niche that have to be resolved. There's 10,000 plus SKUs on the supplier website that we have to potentially stock. Every MacBook battery, every random Huawei phone battery, every Huawei phone screen. Like, it's so crazy, right? And then a new phone comes out and like, where do we source that screen from? The supplier, this quality, that quality, how do we market it? What's the defect rate on that screen? There's so much to discuss just in that. And then software, like software is like a never ending black hole. We resolve this issue and we resolve this issue. And then like a new issue. So every week I'm just used to it. I'm like, Kyle, what's the problem this week? Oh, this is the most famous conversation me and Kyle have. Like, Kyle black hole. And he's like, I have good news and I have bad news. And I'm like, me too. I have good news and bad news too. So you give me the good and I'll give you the bad and then we'll trade. But it's constantly like that. So vertical integration sounds good as Kyle has framed it, but it's actually like hectic and from my experience, years and years.
Not only is it a lot of work, but it's also, do you want to spend $100,000 building a software developers and hiring developers and all that kind of shit, or do you want to spend $100,000 on your already winning, proven out successful business model? So that's the thing that's hard, is like double downing on the past or like betting on the future.
That is
also managing what you currently have and making sure that it doesn't shrivel and die because you're focusing on this new initiative.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit of a gamble, and you have to make a choice, because there's lots of people that are like, if you can just buy for 7 and sell for 12 all day long, why are you even discussing solving this other issue? But the good thing is that's your like competitive advantage, is like pushing in the future. I'm lucky where I have Kyle and Dan. They're very smart. So it's 3 brains, so we can all focus on something. If someone's not mopping the floors in the store, I can resolve that. We have a very good district manager as well. So we have ways to resolve each sphere of concern. Like, so small retail concerns, someone can deal with. Then there's like medium partnerships, which Kyle deals with a lot, to like massage these people into giving us what we need and what they need. And then there's like software, which is more what Daniel focuses on.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah, you got a good dynamic of people thinking about, it's just like, go think about this. Go think about the future. That could be a whole job. And then go deal with the actual business. That's a whole job. And go create a new business within the business. That's a whole job. It's hard to do. You can't do it without a team. So it sounds like you guys have a good team going.
Yeah. But as Kyle's mentioned, this does take quite some time to resolve. Like, wholesale was a whole like roller coaster. We're like driving across Canada, just going to, I remember working a desk job. And like after my desk job, I would just stay in the office because they had like free coffee and snacks. And then I just was like, bring my laptop out and like work on stuff. And then Kyle was in Toronto at the time, so I like on work, and I would just send him addresses of shops. I'm like, yo, go give these guys free samples. Like he would show up with an iPad and like force them to sign up and give them a free sample, right? Just so we can get those customers on board. And then, and that extra cash flow obviously assisted in expanding retail and doing other stuff. So it was like at a certain point when you're like, we've tried so hard, I'm not going to give up at a certain point. I'm just going to fix everything and then quit and go.
How many retail stores are you at now, Zach?
Oh, we're at 9. We'll be at 15. So we have the leases signed and we're just like setting them up. And like some are not active leases for another 30 or 60 days. But I know Lloyd Minister, they're all on our website, mobiletechlab.ca. Lloyd Minister, Brandon, Manitoba, a couple more Winnipeg stores. All that is like, you know, what we want to focus on now because we have all the time to put our focus on the small things. Like, how do you make sure you have, if a customer comes in for a repair, let's reverse engineer that. Like, you are going to repair an S20. That's a super expensive phone, probably in the $300-ish range to repair. You have to have phones on hand to offer as an alternative. Hey, is that too expensive? Maybe you can just buy this phone instead. And what can we give you for your broken S20? So you're going to have to reverse engineer all the customer scenarios and have a retail ready solution for all that, which is a headache in its own. Then you want to deal with the insurance companies. They're going to be sending you customers that have certain expectations and carrier partnerships and stuff like that. So you want to be able to offer all that. We also have a store way up north in Thompson, Manitoba, which is like an area where you can't really drink the drinking water, but they have no access to proper phone repair or proper devices. We were the first to open a store there. And
it's like, you can't drink the water, but we have phones.
Oh, I can't drink the water. I wasn't born there. But if you were born there, you could check your like body.
It's there. Like the hierarchy of priorities in the world. It's like Pornhub, bones, and then water.
And the liquor store is super important. Just so you know.
Oh my God.
But that was super interesting because like we just hopped on that opportunity during COVID. A lot of this happened during COVID. Another carrier moved out of the mall and we were just like, we made an offer. And then
Brian's probably like the first person from California that's heard of Thompson, Manitoba.
Man, I remember going up there with Kyle. We had to go up during COVID because it was just too hectic. I remember looking at my map with my dot on it. And I was like taking screenshots and sending it to my family in the States. I'm like, look where I am. This is like the top of the world. This is crazy. And then my sister was like, I can't even believe people live up there. It's like,
honestly, oh, like there's no reason for us to go up there. There's no reason for anyone to go up there unless it's money.
Right. That's an area where stuff is like, the chicken breast just tastes a little bit weird because it's one day stale. Everything just delayed like by one day. So everything just tastes a little bit
funky. Let's stop dissing the Thompsonites. But yeah, sorry guys, my phone died. I'm very bad. Zach will tell you this. I'm very bad at keeping my phone charged.
Kind of ironic. How many chargers do you have in your car?
I probably sell about 80 to 100 chargers per day. And it's still this bad. It's crazy.
That is definitely ironic. Sometimes you gotta run it through the irony filter. That's definitely a definite irony.
Yeah, so it's been quite the journey, but I always felt like at a certain point, if we're gonna do it, we're like, we might as well just go all the way. I don't want to have three stores. When we had one store, it was pretty painful. I remember thinking, if I'm gonna have one store, I might as well have zero or like a bunch of stores. It's like either shut down the one store when we first had one mobile tech lab, or we're gonna expand all the way and just get like 10 plus stores, because it's more motivating, right? Like seeing revenue come in from every location and seeing sales come in from every location is way more motivating than having just like one guy. I'll fix your phone. It's not the best.
But if you're going to have 200 or zero, there's no between.
That's actually what I thought. I was like, I'd rather have 200. 200 sounds like more exciting. It's way more of a shit show, but at least it's like way more fun than just having a one. And it's like, one is like, because a lot of the independents are doing had one now. And you can.
Yeah, honestly, since we both understand it's going to be built at scale, I think we both understand that, okay, we need to figure out how to do every possible part of the business at scale.
Yeah.
Just make everything, even when it comes down to like insurance and internet, like we are now having to renegotiate a lot of this stuff, that's my part, right? I usually focus on that side of the business, but it's very interesting, especially when you haven't been to school for this, right? No one has taught us how to do. I don't even think if you go to school, they'll teach you this specific shit. That's not happening. So it's very new to all of us, and we're all learning day by day, but we're also expanding at a rate of 3 to 4 locations per month. Mobile Tech Lab is, at the rate it's growing, it'll be the largest electronics repair provider in Canada by 2024. So we do have our plans and we do have intentions to do this properly based on everything we've said here. It took a lot of learning lessons and a lot of different businesses and companies to make Mobile Tech Lab possible.
How do you go about planning?
This is the true outcome, right? Planning changes every month, right? Every month our plans change. We have a master document. We have something called the master file, right? The master Google Sheets document. All the different tabs have all the different outcomes and all the different everything, right? That is how we plan. We do plan very efficiently and we make sure every part of it is delegated to the right people, that we do all of that. But even that, some at this rate that we're going at and what it comes down to, it's not enough. We need to do even more. That's where we're at. That's the hard tasks that we need to be focused on.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little bit, am I really going through Amazon looking for the best toilet paper holder thing for the staff room? If I have to, like, it has to be done. Do I have to go find like a kettle for the back staff room for every, like the best kettle on Amazon that's also price friendly for every staff room?
Yeah, but you look at, but then as soon as we started doing this, Matt, I start thinking about the Bay, Walmart, the biggest businesses around town. How do they stock their stores? How do they put in toilet paper? How does Walmart make sure toilet paper is always there for their staff? I love giving myself these questions and I love coming up with the answers, because when I come up with the answers, I get more data.
Right. I've never gone to Walmart and gone to the washroom and there's never not been soap there. That's never happened.
Yeah. I want 200 stores across Canada and I want it vertically integrated, as we were talking about. How do I
not
make
horizontally
sure
integrated?
Exactly. Exactly. Right. How do I make sure it's vertically integrated at its finest? We go back to that.
Yeah. And every time I hear, or even every time I talk to Zach, I always learn something. And same with you, Kyle. Thanks for coming on. It was a pleasure. And Zach has touched on the story in passing, but never really had the opportunity to take a deep dive of going from the back of the SEO days all the way to where it is that you gentlemen are at now. And it's been a fucking wild ride, and thanks for sharing it.
Yeah, I think why it's been so confusing is a lot of people, in, let's say they're in SEO, they don't understand like the shifts and movements Zach had and has to make in order to expand what he wants to do in life.
Yeah, I'm not romantic about much. If I do SEO one day and then I'm like ordering stuff off Amazon for the stores the next day, like I don't really care. As long as I'm like pushing towards my goal, that doesn't matter. I think that's one of our strengths, is like if Kyle has to go talk to a customer and I have to go tell an employee something not nice way or a nice way, it's we got to do what we got to do, right? So we're not like locked into certain rules or locked into certain things. Like got to be adaptable and, like Kyle said, have that vision to look forward and see this is what has to be done right now to get us over this hump or get us through the day to get us to that ultimate goal of solving the problem.
Fuck yeah. That we're coming up on 90 minutes.
Yep. And it's very interesting when you look at, let's say we did a competitor, you're not going to see them doing half the shit we're doing. So I like the fact that we're on to something and we have an edge, but we've always been moved to always look at the next big thing. In 2027, what's going to happen to our industry, internal and external? What's going to happen in the industry and in tech overall? And tech now, like we're in the biggest industry. We support the biggest industry, which is technology. And it's very hard for a lot of us to understand. But that is how big, when we sign leases and sign some negotiations and stuff, they ask, oh, how big is who do you serve? They ask us. We serve everyone. What do you mean, who do we serve? We serve the 16-year-old girl who wants to text the boyfriend, and we serve that 80-year-old grandma who wants to make sure they're always in contact with the children.
Who also wants a boyfriend.
Yeah.
We don't judge. We don't, whatever.
Right? Right? Like, we serve everyone. And it's the hardest thing for our partners to understand sometimes. It's funny. like when we're negotiating contracts and leases and stuff. It's, what do you mean? What do you mean everyone's a client? What do you mean? What do you mean? What are you saying? What kind of question is this to me?
I'm telling you straight up.
This is it. Yeah.
I don't know why that's confusing. Read any book, but we serve the human race, which is we're social creatures and we communicate with other people.
You know why it's confusing? Because they haven't seen a business model like ours in years.
Oh, all right.
So they're all confused. They're like, okay, what's going on? How has your business model checked off all of our boxes?
How can you get 16-year-olds and 90-year-olds boyfriends in the same month? I don't understand.
Actually, your thing, because like,
right, we're gonna have to just like cut this off because I'm going into like troll land.
Okay, we'll hold it for round two. Kyle, we know we really want to talk about how to do retail right.
Yeah, like we should probably definitely do like a different type of segment to talk about more retail in depth, like e-commerce in depth. There's a lot of talk about that we didn't touch on at all, but I do see the value here. Like, we could definitely touch on these topics. I want to. So,
yeah, we'd love to have you back.
Yeah, definitely.
But Zach, Kyle, thanks again for coming on. I know you're super busy, so appreciate the time. And being said, everybody, we'll catch you on the next one.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Now, with this episode at a close, let's fucking vamos on out of here.